Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us today on Holy Spirit Radio. We've got a fantastic show for you. I'm going to tell you more about it after the prayer. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. Father, we made it through another night. We are alive for another day. Therefore, we know that you have a plan for us today. You have something you want us to do. Please make that aware to us by the people you send into our lives, the situations, and help us to be able to respond in a way that would please you. Father, we live in a world that's filled with tension, division. Help us bring some peace into that troubled world. We pray for all of those in authority, our leaders. We pray for our clergy. Pray for our Holy Father. We pray for all of our own intentions. Whatever they may be, we give them to you, and we're going to let you do your job today. We hand them over to you, Father in heaven, and we ask you to handle our problems for us. And grant us the grace to not try to take them back from you either. We ask that you speak through us on the radio program today. Give us the words, give us the message, and open all of our hearts to be receptive to what you have to say. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm feeling better now. I prayed whenever I pray. Isn't it amazing when you pray, you start to feel better? That's because prayer has an effect. You know, one of the things we forget, and we're going to talk about this more on the show today, one of the things we forget is one of the first fruits when we pray, one of the first results we get is peace. It's because the Lord's at work when we pray. We're going to be joined later in the program by Dan Burke, who will talk about just that. A lot of complaining going on about things, a lot of division, a lot of people doing things that, I don't know, maybe are a waste of time. Dan has some thoughts about that. What really is important in life? What can we do? Well, Dan's going to have some ideas. We'll also be joined by Matt Swaim. You know him from the Sunrise Morning Show. He was the producer, the co-host at one time. Now he works for the Coming Home Network. He's going to talk about conversion. So lots of good things coming up today. Speaking of good things coming up, Dave Parker is here
with us.
Good
morning, Gary. Thank you very much. Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank
you for the compliment.
Yeah. I'm doing well. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. How are you?
I'm doing great. Frank Eliason's back with us today from his trip.
Good morning. Back from Chicago.
How was Chicago?
To Chicago and back again.
That was in one day, right?
Wow.
That is correct.
Boy, that'll wear you out.
I do it quite often, so those type of trips don't bother me that much.
Yeah, we know something's up when on our Facebook, and we see that little I'm Philadelphia to wherever that little arc of a plane ride, you know. Oh no, Frank, where are you going, buddy?
Just hanging out with Ronald McDonald.
Okay. Oh man, any burgers? Do you bring any burgers back? I mean,
actually, I had the chance to try a new one that's coming out, but instead I had I went with the standard Big Mac.
All right.
But my kids love that they're a client of mine because, you know, I'm usually the one that says no to McDonald's, and now I'm pretty much more agreeable to it.
So you were at their headquarters?
Yes, that is correct.
And I know this might be a silly question, but do they have a McDonald's in the headquarters?
That is correct. They do.
What a concept.
I know.
And so, yeah, it was kind of and I will say probably the best McDonald's I've ever been to.
I would imagine. Well, one would hope it's like in the top three, at least, you know.
You teased us with this new burger. Can you give us an idea what this?
It's a sriracha burger. All my colleagues.
That's big right now.
Yeah, all my colleagues got it, but I decided that I was in the headquarters. It called for to go more traditionalist, so I went with the Big Mac.
Yeah, I thought Frank was going to say, well, if I told you, I'd have to, and I want to say that on an uplifting program.
That's right.
No, they've already all my colleagues already shared it all publicly, so I'm guessing it's okay to share publicly.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, anyway, it's good to have you back. We managed to stay on the air yesterday.
That's always a good
thing.
With that,
your help.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Dave, we set our standards pretty low here. We stay on the air. We're happy.
And we made it through.
Made it through the show. As far as the quality goes well, we're not going to go there.
But well, right now, that's why we let Jeanette go as long as she did. Right. We needed a lift.
She was on fire yesterday. It was good to have her on the program. Anyway, I want to do the weather forecast right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. 68 degrees, a few clouds today. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m. We'll have a high near 84 tonight. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 70. Saturday, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm. Patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 85. At the present time in New Hope, 64 degrees. Quakertown, 63 degrees. And in Fairless Hills, PA, it is 66 degrees.
Wow.
So there's your forecast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I needed to know the temperature in the place I live.
Oh, well, that's...
Hills. Yeah.
Can you verify that for me? I mean, well, you're
Barbara,
not.
Send me a text.
Anyway.
Ask Alexa.
One of my favorite parts, though, to traveling is I sat and I was able to go through listening it to a huge chunk of Mother Angelica's book. So,
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So...
Now, which one are you reading?
So I already did the first one, or the second one, the latest one, but now I'm doing the other one, the original one, and the, you know, to go through her biography and whatnot, and I'll be finished that probably in the next day or so.
Mm. Okay.
So that was actually a lot of fun. Inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that she writes or is written about her, I find really inspiring. I mean, her trust in God's providence is just incredible.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, and the faith that she's put out there in all kinds of ways. And even when you get into some of the areas where, you know, there was some controversy around it, mm-hmm. you start to understand where she's coming from in many ways when you go through a lot of that. You know, she truly saw herself as being married to Jesus.
She really did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She did. And she definitely knew him personally.
That is correct.
That comes through.
Exactly, exactly.
Absolutely.
Comes through. You know, Frank, you bring up an interesting point. Sometimes we look at religious life, we look at people, clergy, those on TV, and we tend to maybe over-glorify what's going on. They had problems, too, and in this book, that's very clear.
That's my favorite part to it is, you know, what she said about her biography, what she, you know, told Raymond was, you know what? I want you to show the real me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to sugarcoat it. I don't want it to be these typical biographies that we read regarding saints that are...
Yeah.
Don't show them
filtered,
as human.
They, like, yeah. Don't filter me out.
Exactly. You know? She wanted to be shown as human.
Right.
With human faults. I'm still trying to find some faults, but, you know, we all see things a little differently, and sometimes I'm not certain that she quite had that many faults, but, you know what? She wanted that to be known because she wants things to be attainable.
Well, Mother did have a really bad temper, and she makes that really clear. She talks about that all the time. She had a bad temper, but here's the thing. She was able to channel that focus, that drive for the Lord.
Yeah, well, but even when you look at her things that she had a bad temper about, oftentimes it was about things people said about Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
It was things that, you know...
That's a really good point.
And so...
More correction to defend her Lord.
I wouldn't even say it was defense of the Lord. I wouldn't even say necessarily correction. It was usually just something along the lines of, you know, this is how you're offending me, and she let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, we know some of those stories, you know, but to kind of, you know, some of them were very simplistic. The fact that, you know, there was a lot of crosses, no crucifix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't. You know, they didn't have Jesus on there, and she's like, "It's not about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about,
beautiful.
It's about
yeah.
Jesus.
It is."
And when people like her are honest, it gives us hope because if everyone who is following Christ looks too perfect, then I'm going to lose hope in a hurry. When I look at the apostles, all the weaknesses that these guys have. It gives me some motivation to keep going on and to realize that, hey, I can do something for the Lord, too.
And she makes that point quite clear numerous times. Right. I think she referred to them as dodos.
She does. She does.
Quite
she
often.
They didn't get anything, but I think she might have even said they were too dumb to realize that everything Jesus said was true or something. And I think that's the problem for a lot of us.
Maybe that's why Peter was a rock.
And that was
And
that was actually the quote on the first transmission truck for EWTN about dodos, but they misspelled dodos.
Did they really?
Yes.
That's funny.
Well, that's very appropriate. She was in good company then.
Doo-doos. Yeah.
Well, we like here at Spirit in the Morning to present that same image to you to let you know that you
we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that's why we have Dave Parker on the show.
Who are you talking about, brother?
I'm talking about you.
Oh, man, I knew that was coming. All right.
That was too easy, wasn't it?
All right, you know.
Let me
put my revolver away.
Let me get collected and go to the gospel for today's Mass while you ponder that, Mr. Parker. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." There you go, that cross again. And
yes.
And I think sometimes when we call ourselves followers of Christ, we try to avoid suffering, we have to question, or we should question, well, look at the life of Jesus, the suffering, the humiliation, everything he endured.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm truly following him and yet running away from suffering, am I really following him, or am I going off in my own direction?
Good point, Gary. Good point. I mean, like, if I claim I want to follow him and then suffering comes into our life and we want to run away from it.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Somebody doesn't like what we have to say.
That's a typical human response, but we have to go into it and embrace it, engage it, is what we hear from the Lord.
That's a tough message, Frank.
We'll go back to Mother Angelica. Yeah. Every time she had some inspiration... Usually, it was actually before that was suffering of some sort.
That's right. Yes.
And so, you know, there was constant suffering that she gave up to Jesus, but she always got an answer of something afterwards. And usually, it was a major inspiration.
That's right. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Matt Swaim from the Coming Home Network. He's going to talk about conversion. And I think sometimes we think of conversion as a one-and-done deal or something that, as a Catholic... Dave, you're a convert to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I got the T-shirt in the 70s. You know? Right. I'm done. No.
But, right, but a lot of times we think that conversion is a one-time process, or it's for non-Catholics. Well, Matt's here to tell us that that's not true. We'll talk about that. I will talk about my own personal conversion. And honestly, we are all called to convert every day. Well, what does that mean? We throw that word around a lot, conversion.
Good point.
I'm going to ask Matt Swaim that when we come back from the break. So grab a cup of coffee, relax, because we here at Spirit in the Morning are coming right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Clare. This is the story of a woman who followed her own path in life. At 15, she refused to marry. Instead, she followed the example of a dynamic young preacher, Francis Bernardone. He became her lifelong friend and spiritual guide. Determined to dedicate her life to God, Clare escaped one night from her father's home in Assisi. Several miles away in the little chapel called the Porzioncola, she received a rough woolen habit, exchanged her jeweled belt for a common rope with knots in it, and peacefully watched Frances cut her long golden tresses. Her sister Agnes soon joined her, as did other women. They lived a simple life of poverty, austerity, and seclusion from the world. Claire and her sisters went barefoot, slept on the ground, ate no meat, and observed almost complete silence. At the convent of San Damiano, Claire served the sick, waited on table, and washed the feet of begging nuns. She herself never left the convent walls, but popes, cardinals, and bishops often came to consult her. Claire died in 1253 and was canonized 2 years later. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
There's a brokenness inside of you. There's a wound that still reminds you of the fear, shame, and rejection. You've seen it, you know it's time to get up, but your heart's paralyzed, you're so stuck. You passed the point, you're trying again, you're defeated, there's something inside you can't deny, you hear the
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's Rise by Danny Gokey, and that's your message. Time to rise and join us today at Spirit in the Morning, which I guess if you're listening, you've already done that. The time is 7:18. Well, we are joined right now by my good friend Matt Swaim, the communications director for the Coming Home Network. We're going to be talking about conversion. And by the way, before I bring him on, I always have to say this. Matt Swaim is the guy who gave me my start in Catholic radio. So if you got a problem with that, Matt's the guy to talk to. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Right? I got a bone to pick. No.
You're trying to ruin my morning by giving me all kinds of nasty emails coming in my inbox. What are you doing with Gary on the radio?
Yeah, just wait. It's going to get worse, brother. How are you today?
Doing great, Gary, and it's always great to hear your voice early in the morning, as I have done for many years now.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, that's right.
No matter where you go, Matt, you and I, or wherever I go, you and I are connected somehow. I don't know how this keeps happening, but it does.
Well, I'll tell you how it happens. It's amazing how many people of faith, if you just kind of keep up with, they all kind of show back up. I mean, you notice this. If anybody in your Facebook feed or anybody in your family is connected to the faith life in some way, shape, or form, it's amazing how often they pop up in just like little ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's an important reminder to keep people of faith in your life.
That's right. Now, Matt, listen, the reason I had you on, we were talking offline last week sometime about a post I made, I highlighted when I was on the journey home and talked about my conversion or my reversion or whatever you want to call it a few years ago, and people started posting on Facebook saying, Gary, I thought you were a cradle Catholic. I didn't know you were a convert. And many people said that, and I wrote back and I said, no, I'm not a convert. I am a cradle Catholic. And then you, Matt Swaim, jumped in. You work for the Coming Home Network now, and you said that I constitute an important part of the people you work with at the Coming Home Network. And your quote, people who have been in the pews for years but didn't have a real personal encounter with Jesus that changed everything for them until they've been in the Catholic Church for a couple of decades or more. Matt, that was a brilliant way to sum it up. There were a lot of people like me in the world, and you deal with many of them at the Coming Home Network.
I absolutely do, and we've interviewed a bunch of them on the Journey Home, and your story being one example. The Journey Home, for those who don't know, is on every Monday night on EWTN, has been for 20 years, longer than MASH, not quite as long as The Simpsons. But every Monday, we interview somebody for an hour about why they came to the into the church, or why they came back to the church, or when they had an awakening within the church, which would have been, you know, your case. And we break down our membership, which is in the thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people, into those people who are Protestant pastors coming in, or converts coming in, into those people who have fallen away big time, gone and explored whatever other faith, and then come back, and people who have just been in the pews forever, but had something, and like I said in that post, that just really kind of woke them up and said, hey, I just realized what it is that I have. And that, you know, I was at the Steubenville Defending the Faith Conference a couple weeks ago, and Scott Hahn, your buddy and mine, you know, looked out over the crowd of a few thousand as the conference was beginning and said, raise your hand, how many converts are out there? You know, and about actually like 40% of the crowd raised their hand. He's like, that's a trick question, just so you know. By the end of this, after we explain what, you know, the call to ongoing conversion is, you'll discover that all of you are converts.
Wow.
Because that's really when Jesus says to us, you know, that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. We're called to ongoing, constant conversion. Pope John Paul II refers to conversion as a lifestyle. And I think that that's important for us to remember, because some of our Protestant brothers and sisters believe that once saved, always saved is the deal. You pray one prayer, that's when you converted.
Right, exactly. Now, Matt, we kick around that word a lot, conversion. Talk a little bit about conversion. What exactly is it?
Well, conversion isn't just figuring out how many cups are in a pint and how many pints are in a quart. Because if that was conversion, I would not be very good at conversion as a lifestyle. No, conversion is really looking at each day as its own individual spiritual quest. Each moment, even, really. And saying, what can I do to honor the Lord in this moment? Now, what you'll see is that if you're doing any work, if you're trying to, you know, make Mass more of a part of your daily routine, if you're trying to pray the rosary more daily, you may not notice it immediately, but if you notice over time that you have made that effort to sort of daily take up your cross, daily follow, if you look back, you start to realize, you know what, I didn't even notice this was changing in me, but this was changing in me.
Right.
And so I think that because of the way that dramatic conversions are cast, this dramatic person who came out of drugs and alcohol, this dramatic person who came out of a crazy background, we think that conversion has to be dramatic, but most conversion is small. Most conversion is incremental. I mean, it's like going to the weight room. You don't make gains the first day you go in the weight room. you notice after a few weeks that, hey, I'm starting to increase my my capacity. If I'm distance running, I'm starting to notice, hey, you know, 4 miles, 5 miles isn't as tough as it used to be.
Right, right. But it takes looking back over time to really notice it. I agree with that. Matt, in your experience in working with both people coming into the Catholic Church and people like me who were just sitting there being lukewarm for years and all of a sudden one day the light bulb goes on, what seems to be, is there a common event that happens that triggers these conversions?
Oh, gosh, man, there are 100 common events.
I bet there are. I mean... Is it a lot of times are people, like in my case, it was a health crisis. I was worried that I was dying, and all of a sudden the Lord got my attention. But is it being stripped down? Is it struggling? Is it when things are going great? I mean, can you say that there's a common denominator?
Well, the common denominator is that it's a gift. It's a gift of grace.
Okay.
That to me is the thing that jumps out, and I think Marcus would say the same thing, sitting across the table doing interviews for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
That for most people in conversion, it's not so much something they did, it's something that they noticed that was happening that they responded to.
Okay.
So, for instance, in your case, if it was tragedy or if it was loss, you start to realize that, hey, there's this resource I have to fall back on, my faith. I've been treating, I've been taken for granted.
Right, right.
And I realize that Jesus has been there all the time, but I haven't.
Exactly.
I haven't been paying attention to him. Or someone, we just had a guy who's a convert from Islam on the show, David Shulkin, had a powerful story. Mm-hmm. And he, came out of Iraq, and, there were all kinds of terror threats, chaos, death, violence all around him, and he started to think, who is this person who's been protecting me? What is this gift of safety that's been granted to my family, and how do I respond to it? And that kind of goes back to the general understanding of how salvation even works,
mm-hmm.
how faith even works. It is a gift.
Right.
And I think just turning your radar on and noticing where God is a huge thing. For so many of us, it can, and if you turn your radar on, that means that, sometimes it takes tragedy to turn your radar on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes extreme joy, the birth of a child, to turn your radar on. But it's a gift in every case.
And I'm hoping somebody out there is listening, and I'm sure that's the case. That's why I wanted to have you on, and it's registering with somebody listening today. So if you are getting that feeling, if you're becoming aware that, wait a minute, I haven't been giving Jesus the time that I really should. Today's that day to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you a little more time. Matt, we only have about a minute left. I understand you have a new book coming out. What's the deal with that?
Oh, I do, yeah. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. It's called Catholic Puzzles, Brain Teasers, and Word Games. I got Volume 1 and 2 coming out, so if you're someone who's into crosswords, the code solvers, and trivia, and all kinds of weird nerdy activities.
Brain teasers, huh?
Yeah. If you're a purple person, then check it out on Amazon. Cap Puzzles, War Games, and Brain Teasers, Volumes 1 and 2.
We're going to have you on again, if you would be so kind, to talk about that once I get my copy of the book, of the book. You know, not dropping any hints or anything, brother, but you know what I'm saying?
I'll make sure.
You got to take care of your friends, you know?
I know it.
Hey, Matt Swaim, you're amazing. Thanks so much for joining us today. Matt, what's the best place to follow you online?
Easiest place is Twitter, @MattSwaim, or find the Coming Home Network, www.chnetwork.org.
All right. Great to connect with you again, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, God bless you.
God bless you, too. Matt Swaim. Find out more at spiritinthemorning.com. We'll have his information link. When we come back, Dan Burke.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. President Donald Trump says maybe he wasn't tough enough when he vowed to unleash fire and fury on North Korea if it continued to threaten the U.S. While tensions remain high, U.S. and South Korean military officials plan to move ahead with exercises that North Korea claims are a rehearsal for war. Pyongyang is finalizing plans to launch a salvo of missiles to strike near the U.S. territory of Guam, plans that would be sent to Kim Jong-un for approval around the time the exercises begin. The Vatican has said Pope Francis has ordered a Belgian Catholic charity to stop offering euthanasia in its psychiatric hospitals. In May, the Brothers of Charity announced it would allow doctors to perform euthanasia at its 15 psychiatric hospitals in Belgium, one of only two countries, along with the Netherlands, where doctors are legally allowed to kill people with mental health problems at their request. The brothers said in a statement that euthanasia would only be performed if there were, quote, no reasonable treatment alternatives. The Vatican Press Office said this week the Pope asked the Belgians not to perform euthanasia at all. And Google CEO Sundar Pichai has canceled an internal town hall meant to address gender discrimination yesterday after employee questions for management began to leak online from the company's internal messaging service. He said in an email to staff that several Google employees became fearful for their safety and grew concerned about being outed for speaking up at the town hall. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress. A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty. Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. As an observer, I would say his faith is his strength. That's how Father Ed Steiner from Nashville's Cathedral of the Incarnation described his parishioner, Grammy Award-winning singer Keith Urban. During an interview with the website CelebBuzz, Father Steiner noted that though Keith and his wife, actress Nicole Kidman, travel a lot, they attend church there when they're home in Nashville. In addition, Father Steiner describes Keith as an attentive father to his two daughters. He says, when they've had to take their daughters to the church nursery, Keith is not the type of father who just drops her off. He visits with all our sitters and religious ed teachers. He interacts with other people's children in a very positive way. What I've really experienced from him is what a loving father he is. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hello, my name is Regret. Pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the true king. I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. The one who makes all things new has proven it's true.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West. I'm Gary Zimak, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. The time right now is 7:36. Well, every Friday, with the exception of the past several Fridays when he's been traveling, we are joined on the program by our good friend Dan Burke, who's the Executive Director of the National Catholic Register. You can find him online as well at spiritualdirection.com. This is our Into the Deep segment. Welcome back, Dan. It's been a long time, my friend.
Yeah, Gary, a bit too long. I'm glad to not be traveling so much.
I know. So glad you're back. All right, Dan, here's what I want to hit you with today. I was on Facebook last night, and I ran across some profound thoughts, and I want to get your opinion on them. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Just curious, why talk, fret, and wrangle about things we can't control? Seems like a colossal waste of time to me. Now, that got my attention, but this individual followed up with this. The devil is very happy about those who criticize the Pope, the President, the bishops, or whatever, as long as they don't pray for them. They waste lots of time fretting about what they say or do, especially on social media. I suspect the devil is ecstatic when they can get others to join in on the wrangling and argue with one another about it. Those words from none other than Dan Burke.
Yeah, well.
Well put.
I don't know what's going on.
Dan, well put.
I don't know what's going on with me yesterday. I think, obviously, I spend a lot of time on social media. It's part of my job in the news.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe I see it as a little bit of a ministry of the spiritualdirection.com, the Avila Foundation kind of work,
mm-hmm.
to try to be a light in the darkness. And I see a lot of wrangling out there. And I you know, the words of Jesus echo profoundly, you know,
yeah.
My peace I give to you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives. And I see people with a total lack of peace, you know, they
yes.
jump out and they say, oh, you know, the sky is falling,
yeah.
and people jump in and say, well, you're an idiot, the sky is not falling.
I know, exactly.
You know,
you're right.
Somebody else jumps in and says, yeah, this is the Pope, terrible. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not the calling of the people of God. This is not the high calling of the people of God. This is not, these are not the voices of a conquering people, of people advancing the kingdom. Now, I'm not judging them because I think, you know, people legitimately struggle, but
yeah.
the way we should deal with our struggles is not to is not to sort of rip our guts out in the public forum, but mm-hmm. to go to our knees and say, Lord, you know, help me to be a difference. I mean, I don't know about you, Gary, but I every single day I pray in my morning prayers, I pray for the Pope with specific intentions. I'm just thinking probably four different times. And I pray for the bishops of the world and the church. I pray for our president. You know, the situation with North Korea is difficult.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But St. Paul says, you know, basically don't have anxiety about anything, but by prayer and supplication
right.
and thanksgiving. And if you, all of the words he used, you know, after the first word of translated prayer, he says by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, petitions. That means he says basically those are all synonyms for prayer, right? So he says, do not be anxious or worry. He says, but pray, 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 and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will be with you.
Right.
And I think I don't know, Gary. I like that plan better than wrangling, arguing, causing division, bringing other people down. You know, spreading your dark clouds, yeah. spreading your lack of faith, you know?
I like it, too. And I have to be honest with you. I'm very careful what I post on social media. And on this show, I like to keep it really positive because it's what the Lord wants and people need to be uplifted. And that's the way I choose to witness. But I have to be honest. I would like to say, Dan, every day I pray for peace. I pray for all of our bishops. I pray for the priests in the world. I pray for the religious sisters. And I pray for the Holy Father. I'll be honest, I pray for some of those things. But this post hit me last night. So I want to thank you for it mm-hmm. because my morning prayers were a little bit different today than they were yesterday morning. So, Dan, it's really great that you do this. And you really touched me with your post.
Well, funny enough, I got criticized a few times for, you yeah. know, one person said, oh, the Facebook police are out again.
And uh-oh.
You know, that's
I'm shocked.
Not the intent. Right.
Yeah.
The intent is to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, let's lift our eyes to heaven because, you know, the victory is won. The life is short, and we need to give our all to him. You know, St. Paul, I think, in another place in the New Testament says, you know, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good for edification, mm-hmm. for building up, you know. And I think it's one of the things I really like about you, Gary, is that it's that emanates from you. It's part of who you are. It's part of but it's who we're all called to be. I mean, Gary, look, we do not have an end. We're called to heaven. We're given the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're, you know, we've been redeemed by Christ. In the end, Revelation says there'll be no more tears or crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have overcome
right.
Amen.
The world through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So why we should be a light of joy, not walking around, you know, with this dark cloud following us. And I think it's a lack of faith. You know, I think in the news industry, it's very difficult because we don't get to turn away. You know, everybody
correct.
Else gets mm-hmm. to turn away.
That's right.
When there's horrible, bad things, I have to stare at them for hours and
yep.
analyze them,
right.
and talk mm-hmm. and strategize about how we're going to, you know. But even those of us at the register, I would say the predominant attitude at the register, and I would say even EWTN as a whole, is that of joy.
Right.
And of, okay, yeah, this is mm-hmm. difficult. Yes, we've got to face this, you know, whatever the crisis is. But in the end, we know the end of the story. I mean,
correct.
We've got the mm-hmm. book, right?
Right, exactly.
We just flipped to
absolutely.
The last page.
Yeah.
And we're all on the last page.
So read the ending
rejoice.
First.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And Dan, to follow up on what you're saying, we had Teresa Tomeo on the show a few weeks ago talking about online negativity and how to deal with it. Thank you for what you said about me, but my nature when somebody criticizes me when I'm trying to be positive is I want to come back at them. I really do. But then I've learned to say a little prayer, to step back, and to not say what I really want to say. So how do you deal with that when people, and I see what happens to you when you try to be positive, you put it out there, and man, all of a sudden, everybody's piling on Burke. What do you do, Dan?
Well, you know what? If you watch me long enough, you will notice that probably sometimes what I do is go to confession.
You and me too. You and me too. We're both there, man.
I am not, I am no way perfect in my response to people, but, you know, I try to just, I try to take a broader perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are wounded.
Yeah.
They're very poorly formed. You know, they're hypersensitive. And we just got to be patient and love them back. And sometimes, you know, and then there's professional trolls who have taken it upon themselves to,
sure.
to like you know, to mm. purvey the dark cloud of justice on everyone in the universe. And, you know, sometimes, you know, at times I contact people privately. I've contacted several major voices in the Catholic Church in the past privately and said, hey, you're really doing damage here. And I by God's grace, every time I've done that and I try to be very gentle and charitable, every time I've done it, the response has been, you know what, you're right.
Wow.
And I, you know, so I think sometimes we need to take it offline if we think there's hope for kind of a better perspective. But I'm not always right. You know, I have what I call my Facebook consciences, my social media consciences, and I do have people who hold me accountable, and I mean really do, from my own community, who will say, hey, Dan, I think you were a little bit insensitive here, and so I've gone back, this last week, I had to go back and apologize to someone who, you know, I didn't respond with as much gentleness, but we have to remember that there are people with real hearts on the other end. And we really shouldn't say anything we wouldn't say face-to-face.
That's the key, Dan. And I want to thank you. We have about 30 seconds left. Just thank you for everything you do. Thank you for changing my life, for bringing me closer to the Lord. And I know we do these segments on the radio, but you are doing so much for me spiritually. I'm really grateful, man. So thank you so much. I encourage everyone to follow Dan online, spiritualdirection.com. And, brother, I hope you can continue to be with us on the show because you really make a difference, my friend.
Absolutely. God bless you guys and all the good work you do.
All right. Thank you so much. Dan Burke with some good reminders. Plenty to think about there, about social media, how to be positive in the world. Because let's face it, we need to be that light shining in the darkness. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" Life here means, of course, eternal life. Certainly, Jesus is not suggesting that we redeem ourselves. Only He can do that. But by His own self-oblation, He shows us that the true measure of love here on earth is sacrifice. If we truly love Him, then we are willing to undergo anything for Him. This is what Catholics mean by works. To commit to Him has to be more than lip service. It must affect all that we do. When all is said and done, it is simply a matter of love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who
And that was Good Good Father by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio. Your Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day comes from Romans 8:35. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? I think we know the answer to that question. There ain't nothing that's going to separate us from the love of Christ today. Keep that in mind. He loves you unconditionally, no matter what happens, no matter what you are facing. Jesus Christ loves you. Can I get an amen?
Amen. I love that.
All right. I woke everybody in the studio up. Real quick, Monday on the program, we're going to be joined by Dr. Alan Schreck and Danielle Bean. Dave,
wake up.
Stand in the corner.
Oh.
Try to be
serious. I had to do that sound effect. Okay.
We're going to be joined Monday by Dr. Alan Schreck talking about the Holy Spirit. He's from Steubenville University, from Franciscan University of Steubenville. and also by Danielle being a regular guest on the program. So don't forget that on Monday. So, Dave,
yes,
you had an encounter yesterday after leaving the show.
Yes. Thanks for the entree there. Went to Mass, read and lectured, and then right after Mass, a gentleman came up to me by the name of Pete, and I think I have his name right, Stakakis, and he said, "Are you Frank?" And I said, well, no, I didn't say this, but I should have in hindsight. Well, I'm pretty honest and straightforward. No, okay. But seriously, he thought I might have been Frank Eliason. And he said, "I just got here, and I wanted to hear you read." And I said, "Well, no, I'm Dave Parker. But thank you very much, you know, for the compliment." Anyways, but it turns out that, and Pete, if you're listening, it was a pleasure meeting you and talking with you. And I told Frank, you know,
he's a really good guy.
Very good guy.
And, you know, he went through his own conversion experience.
Yes,
and
thanks, Frank.
Lives his faith, and a lot of his conversion came from Catholic Answers.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, you know, I engaged with him a number of times, and, you know, he's been a really good friend of the station, listens very deeply, and really concentrates on Catholic Answers. So he's a really good guy. Shout out to you, Pete.
Yeah,
great guest today. You know, Dan was phenomenal.
It's powerful. I know that's a passion of yours, what he was talking about.
It absolutely is, but I think a lot of it comes down to we often take things negative.
Mm-hmm.
That may not
Absolutely.
Even be negative.
Yes.
You know, we may say, "Oh, you know, here's a different way of doing something," and we take it. You know, sometimes we take it as, "Oh, you're telling me I've been doing it all wrong," which is not what someone may be saying. They may just be saying, "Hey, the way I would do it might be this way. Mm-hmm. I can help."
What causes us to take it that way? What, in your opinion?
You know, pride. You know, we're very happy with the way that, and we've been doing it right, and this is the way to do things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we see this all the time. Mm-hmm. I think you see it. We even see it in the Catholic Church at times. So it's mm-hmm. not just, it's a human thing. It's not a religious thing or a political thing or mm-hmm. any of that stuff. I think it happens all the time in politics. If you say mm-hmm. this, then you said I voted wrong or I did this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it that way, even if it's not intended. So one of the other things is I always suggest, and I learn to speak, but suggest stepping back and also taking a look at mm-hmm. the other person's shoes. What is their intent? And also assume positive mm-hmm. intent.
Absolutely.
Most people have a positive intent when they're doing something. They don't have a negative intent.
Right.
I don't want to hurt you by saying this. I may want to help you. So first, if we start to assume a positive intent, we can certainly then feel a little bit better, start to understand. And then if you start to look at where they may be coming from, maybe it's their own history that's helping them along.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all based on our own history.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are things. There's a lot of things that you can go right wrong in anything. I can sit there and say, you know what, Gary, the way you started off this show is, and you'll go on the defensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I sit there and say, "Hey, Gary, what a great job you do on this show," you'll walk away smiling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe both are intended the same way.
Mm. So it's the way you say it, or recognizing the other people. As Dan said, people are wounded, people are hurt.
Yeah.
People bring those things.
We have our own history.
We have our pride.
We're all individuals.
And sometimes we have to humble ourselves.
And the other piece
to get over ourselves
is recognize everybody's human.
Yeah.
Everybody's human.
Yeah.
We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all do everything else. Mm-hmm. And the best thing you could do is help lift others up. If you take it as everybody's trying to put you down, well, guess what? You're going to wind up putting people down.
Absolutely.
You know, so be that positive light in everything you do. Take and assume that people are trying to also have that positive light towards you.
That's the premise of our show.
I like it. I like it. There's something inspirational to start your day, and you're going to have those opportunities today, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, on social media, in the store, just with your family. You will have those opportunities today to be positive. Remember something else Dan touched on, the importance of prayer. We can complain all we want, but every minute that we spend complaining is a minute that we're not spending praying. So prayer works.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about earlier in the show, Frank, we talked about Mother Angelica. Mm-hmm. Mother believed in prayer. She prayed constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said that Mother, even though she was very up when she was on the air, when she was traveling in a cab or on the plane or whatever, she was very contemplative because she was a contemplative nun. She was talking to her friend Jesus a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he gave her the strength to do what she had
to
do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's extraordinarily powerful, and that's what created this network.
That's right. So remember, say some prayers today. All right, it's time for us to get on out of here. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for starting your day with us here at Spirit in the Morning. On behalf of Gary Zimek, on behalf of Dave Parker, Frank Elias, and brother, time for me to get some more coffee. This is Gary Zimek saying God bless you. Remember, the Lord's with you wherever you go.